Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to episode 325 of See You Next Wednesday, a pop culture podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops late night, February 20th or 21st, depending on when you're listening to this. And my name is Dan Gorman. Man, there's so many times this amount of money would have changed my life. I could have paid my rent. I could have gone to a real doctor instead of pretending I was a big dog. So I had to go to the vet.
My name is Casey Lyons, and I'm going to go take a dump. You want me to grab you one?
My name is Greg LeGros, and when I'm in Holland, I eat the pannekoeken.
Oh, my God. We have so much to talk about this week. It was a winner's choice, and it was a loser's regret. We will talk
you
about...
You don't know that.
A John Travolta movie in Film Roulette and what the two winners' choice were. We'll talk about our Punishment album, so much more. Please email us at info@modernsuperior.com if you have any comments or feedback. Rate and review us on iTunes and follow us everywhere.
Don't
on the internet.
Follow me anywhere.
Follow me everywhere. You'll be delighted at where I go.
All right. It's been a while. I was crazy sick and now I'm alive.
Yeah. You were a sick man for a while there.
It was brutality.
There was Snowmageddon.
Snowmageddon.
One and two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was bad.
It was wild.
It sucked.
That video you sent of hurtling down the highway was the scariest thing.
The cars were just materializing, whipping past me, too. No one was going slow. Oh. They're like, I'm sure there's nothing here.
Yeah.
Very good.
I don't understand that. I feel like every time I've driven in really bad weather, people don't do anything. They're just like, oh, I'll just pretend like this isn't happening.
I was out in, where was I? Like, Rockton, Ontario. So I was on Concession Road 6, where people just live down there and they're like, look it. Like, I know this place.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Nobody comes here.
I don't even give a shit where I live. Concession Road 6 or whatever.
Yeah, pretty good.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're back. It's been a while. You guys had extra long time to listen to Real Big Fish.
Yep.
And a lot of news and such happened.
Sure.
Yeah. I have some notable recent news, but I'm trying to think of what happened like back a few weeks.
All right.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, something recently, I posted in our messenger thread the trailer for the Netflix adaptation of the Motley Crue book, The Dirt.
Yes.
Happened. Now, I know The Dirt more from you guys talking about it, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever read it, but I remember hearing stories of the book being told to me.
Listen, those guys are scumbags.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to read that book.
Yeah, buddy.
If you just want to hate five guys.
Yeah.
Or hate four guys and feel really bad for one guy's back. then there's no better book.
Also, you can leave it in your bathroom and a house guest might think it says, it can't read The Dirt properly and thinks it's Motley Crue, The Diet.
Oh.
That happened one day. I was very pleased.
It's one.
Like, why is it so
It's one page and it's just cocaine and Jack Daniels.
For 700 pages.
Chapter two is burritos. And if you haven't read The Dirt, look into it and then you'll know why that's a great joke.
Do you guys think that this adaptation for Netflix has any potential to be like, I'm assuming Netflix isn't going to be like, you're not allowed to put this or that in your thing, but it feels pretty slick.
Well, it's probably was never going to be that great, but it looks just good enough that I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. And I wonder how much depravity they'll actually let loose.
Yeah.
That's the thing. In sort of today's climate, they're probably just going to talk about how they're misogynistic scumbags, but there's not going to be a lot of like slapping
evidence
on ladies and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Because that's just distasteful to watch. They're probably just going to be like, trust me, these guys slapping on ladies in all sorts of ways.
Yeah. And Vince Neil's going to run somebody over.
Yeah. He's going to kill the Hanoi Rocks guy.
Yeah.
But, spoiler. But, you know what? I'm going to see it just because...
Oh, sure. I need to watch it.
I think it's an interesting enough cast. You got friggin' Val Kilmer's kid in there for some... I might be thinking of the wrong movie. Because there's another movie I want to talk about in conjunction with this
one.
Does look like Tommy Lee and Vince Neil were executive producers.
Oh, and that Machine Gun Kelly guy is playing Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
Oh, really? He was fucking terrible in Bird Box.
He was.
I couldn't wait till he left, and then he did, and I was like, good.
Good.
And they also were like, you're not very good, so we're not going to give you anything to do except for like, hey, babe.
Yeah.
Let's bang. Goodbye.
Yeah. That's, that was when I saw that he was playing Tommy Lee, I was like, oh, that's the level we're dealing with.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's nothing good.
There's the one guy from Game of Thrones.
Who?
Well, you wouldn't know. You haven't.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a guy from Game of Thrones. Who's
who is he playing?
I think he's playing Nick Mars? Or Nick. I don't know. He's Mick or Nicky. I don't know which one.
I did just find out on IMDb it is directed by the guy who directed the Jackass movies. I don't know. That's a notable tidbit.
Okay. I don't know about notable.
I feel like maybe they were trying to get some of that kind of energy into this movie by we'll hire the guy who filmed dudes being asshole idiots.
Yeah, fair enough.
You got Pete Davidson in there for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I had to rewind the trailer to make that to see if that was him because I didn't think it was for a second.
Well, he's got a real stupid hair. But yeah, I was like... Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. I do like Pete Davidson.
I do. I think he's great.
And I really like that John Mulaney is mentoring him. There's something I find so heartwarming.
Did you
about
see
that.
The articles online that were like, "Who is this John Mulaney who's mentor?" And people were like, "Really? Yeah."
There's articles saying, "Who's John Mulaney?"
There was articles that were like, "Here's what you need to know about like Pete Davidson's mentor," because it came out that he was mentoring him.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there was a large subset of people that did not know who John Mulaney were like is, and it was like, had a Broadway, a Netflix show, like,
yeah, you know, most famous comedian right now.
Yeah,
oh, well.
So that's funny.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. So the dirt, the dirt.
Yeah. So to sort of dovetail with that, have you guys? And I feel like this was a festival thing. Have you guys seen ads for that movie Lords of Chaos?
Yes.
No.
It's the story of Mayhem.
Yeah.
The band, not just the general concept.
It's just Mayhem.
It is the story of Mayhem.
Yeah.
That's how I describe things now.
The black...
It truly is the story of Mayhem.
Black metal band, very infamous.
Yeah. Yeah. Killed and ate and wore each other and the whole thing. But it's like a Culkin and... And again, Val Kilmer's kid, who just looks like a squashier version of Val Kilmer.
Squashier version of young Val Kilmer or puffy Val Kilmer?
No. like young, top secret Val Kilmer. Oh.
It's directed by...
by Joss Ackerman?
Yeah, Jonas Ackerman.
Ackerman.
Yeah, he did recently did a Netflix movie that I think it was called Polar.
Yeah.
And apparently
with,
it's fucking
Mads Mikkelsen.
Garbage from what I've read.
And everything else he's made was garbage. He made that movie Spun,
I
which was
hate Spun.
It's the fucking worst. Like, it came out, I think, shortly after Requiem for a Dream or something, or around that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, it was very much like, hey, drugs guys, and like lots of fast drug edits and
it
stuff.
It was garbage.
It was fucking garbage.
I hated that movie.
It's like Natural Born Killers, but for, you know, shitty drugs.
Yeah. Hmm. I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing to make a movie about. I've also seen some stuff from festivals on Letterboxd where people saw it and said, like, this is bullshit. Like, apparently it's just one of those things where, like, they don't get the subculture and it's very like surface level and it's just like
I can't imagine it being good in the slightest.
I think the director, because a lot of his movies are so like, I think he was either a music video or a commercial director before he made movies, so it's like, if I get the like aesthetic right and just lean into it as hard as I can and make it look like a black metal like album or the way it sent, like, it just seems like it's not that good.
Yeah, just ill-informed.
But I'll watch it
because I want to see the things. I know the story because I've read the story several times, and I know the story very well, so I'm like, what are you gonna bring to this story? Like,
story of mayhem.
Yeah.
It's the story of
picture it.
It's a story of mayhem. So we'll see.
Yeah,
but also, I mean, just immediately from the outset, just fuck that movie.
Yeah,
it's gonna be bad.
Speaking of like buzz, you know, out of festivals and buzz out of movies that have not come out yet, Captain Marvel.
Yeah initial screenings
so good.
Except for the angry dudes. Or,
oh god, I didn't catch that yet. I was still in the just seeing the people saying this is wonderful.
Yeah, there's still out of that, but there's some angry men trying to tank this movie. I'll get you, Captain Marvel.
It's so funny. Like, it literally is just a bunch of fucking impotent nerds trying desperately to jerk off in their basement. I'm gonna ruin your movie. No, you're not, you sad little wiener.
Oh my God.
You're not gonna do anything. This movie's gonna make a fuck ton of money, and apparently is like being, from what I've heard, people are like, it's like this like great 90s sci-fi, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Fucking A.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, look at remember when they all banded together and they were going to tank Black Panther the same way?
Yeah, and they did.
Yeah, I know.
Tanked
it all the way to the Oscars.
Don't be a tool of Disney. Disney fudged those numbers to make that movie
right.
The biggest movie in the whole world.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'm excited about that one.
Yep.
Oh, God,
I can't wait.
Yeah. Everybody's saying, like, that Brie Larson is fucking great, but that Ben Mendelsohn is, like, next level.
Nice. Well, he's very, very good.
He's so good at everything he does.
Did you guys see the casting news around Chris Hemsworth today?
No.
Who's been cast as Chris Hemsworth?
Himself. No,
wow.
He is attached to star in a Hulk Hogan biopic.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Yes, and please.
And how racist will he be?
Yeah. What are they going to get into?
Let's
here?
Let's see what kind of Hulk Hogan movie we're making here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Hulk Hogan the executive producer by any chance?
I hope not. Oh, my God.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I will fucking go and see that 100 times, no matter how
it makes sense as like a person to pick a movie to make about, because it has like the court case in the last half of the movie, and like you can already see like how it'll be structured.
I'll tell you what, the whole second act of that movie better be the fuck tape.
I'm so bloated. Orange.
Yeah. That sounds like a movie.
No, I hope it's just, I think it should just be a remake of No Holds Barred, starring Chris Hemsworth. Exact same script, same costumes.
Yeah. Don't even remake it, just digitally insert him over every scene.
Keep Tiny Lister.
Yeah.
You don't have your movie without Tiny Lister.
As long as they keep that shot where you're supposed to think his feet are his butt.
I forgot how fucking great that movie is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I love that movie.
Yeah.
The big
good.
Wrestling match at the end, which is attended by people in tuxedos.
Yeah.
And he wrestling
someone
fans.
And they're all like, wonderful.
Yay.
You guys seemed like a dick. It truly they don't is know the story
yeah. at all. It truly is the sport of kings.
Yeah. They're like, well, it's fake, so.
He's not really dead.
Oh, man, that's good.
I also saved here that Neil Gaiman is reimagining Jim Henson's fantasy anthology series, The Storyteller.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Is he telling the same stories?
I don't know.
A storyteller?
Or is he
that?
Just, I don't know, reimagining or appropriating the title of
The Storyteller?
Yeah.
What
it's
is The Storyteller?
It's a TV show. Jim Henson's anthology. And it was like every episode was a new story.
It was a primetime show.
Yeah.
And I don't remember this at all.
Introduced by a guy telling a story to these kids, and there's a little dog puppet.
Yeah, there's a little mixture of things going on. The nylons are on it.
Yeah.
What the hell?
It's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What 1980? What?
I believe
88 to maybe 91.
How do I not know about this?
I don't know.
I was fun. Not anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
And. Are they still going to do Amazing Stories?
They
no,
should.
Not on the show. Are the stories going to be amazing?
Yeah. The first episode was, or the first season was 1989.
Oh.
And that was all there was. One season.
Yeah,
nine episodes.
Well, then, let's go ahead and remake that. Yeah, it sounds very successful.
It is very well-loved by the people who, like my sister and my brother and I used to watch it, so my sister's like obsessed with it. And, like, was really trying hard to find it when you couldn't get it on DVD. It was always saying, like, to my brother and I, like, can you buy it yet? Like, has anyone released it? So, like, the people that like it are pretty into it. It was one of those things scarred a lot of children because it was just a little bit dark.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm always about anthology television. So, just do it.
Speaking of remakes... You guys know the Banana Splits gang.
That's on here too, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
News?
Turned into a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
Sci-fi.
Yeah, it's like every part of the sentence gets me excited, like 60s variety show The Banana Splits being turned into a horror movie for sci-fi.
Yeah. it's a real boner killer.
And they're all CGI sharks now.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole strange thing that's happening.
Yeah. So, but I'll see what that's about. I could see them being like, oh, we're going to try and make it like that. What's that Five Nights at Freddy's thing that kids like? It's like...
It's like a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, like a Chuck E. Cheese takeoff. Like it was an app, and then now it's a hugely popular thing. Yeah, I just imagine they're going to try and maybe lean into that where it's like spooky. Yeah, it was a little game.
Is that right?
All you did in the game was you're working overnight at like a Chuck E. Cheese, and the only thing you can do in the game is switch the cameras in like the security cameras. See something run by or whatever, and it's like the animatronic things have come in and dance in animatronics.
But all you do is switch the things around
like a job.
Like a job.
Oh,
God, seamless.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, I imagine it'll be something along those lines.
What were we talking about?
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
And that TV show, The Banana Splits.
Yeah.
Well, there was a technical error there in case anyone's wondering.
Yeah.
Is anyone's wondering if we all had a stroke at the same time?
So what else is in the news?
What have
you guys been watching?
Yeah, why don't we do that one?
Yeah.
Me? Nothing.
No?
Whoa.
I've been so busy.
I watched things.
What'd you watch?
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Next.
You had me.
Well, let's get with this, I guess, because this is the biggest thing I watched or enjoyed the most. I watched the fuck out of Russian Doll.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wow.
I watched an episode of that.
Yeah.
Or like an episode and a half.
Yeah. Watched all of that thing.
Man. Maybe I got to watch more of it because it's not that I mean, I love Natasha Lyonne. I think she's so fucking boundlessly entertaining. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe you have to get into a little bit because I feel like it was like a lot of like New York-y people, like just mm-hmm. being like real talking yeah. like real New York people.
Well, yeah, it is because it's there and that's who's the New York is the New York-y people. But keep going with it because
it's extremely
rewarding. And
it's so good.
And yeah,
the last episode is amazing.
Oh my God. So good. And yeah, Natasha Lyonne is perfect in it, and she's always been great. I've always been a big fan of her, and this is the kind of like she can, you know, hang her career on this performance. This is remarkable.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's so funny. Then it gets sad and scary, and wonderful and perfect. Yeah, what a fucking movie. It was over, and I was just almost depressed because I wanted more.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch the whole thing again because God damn it, so good. So
yeah,
good.
Really,
so well
really,
directed.
Really
so well written.
And
so
when
good.
They when they do like start to introduce other things closer to the second mm-hmm. half of the series,
yeah,
it does it in a really great way, in a way that like kind of complements the rest of what you've already seen. And then where it ends up in the last episode is so good. Obviously, if you've seen the Netflix trailer, it's no surprise that there's like timelines involved in this show and like you know this living the same day over and over again. But mm-hmm. the way that the final episode is executed is so well done. Mm-hmm. So like executed so well in a way that I don't know, it's just so hard to like figure out why it's so great the way that they construct that final episode, but it just immediately you know what's going on in a complicated timeline situation mm-hmm. and the way that they play these timelines off one another in the final episode is just so great.
Yep.
It's so rewarding. Oh, I love. Yeah, Emma and I watched it over the course of like 2 days, four episodes one day, four the next day. Like it was amazing.
Yeah, the best.
All right. Well, we'll power through.
Yeah.
Do it. It's only like eight episodes or something. So yeah, very worth your time.
If you haven't seen it, Russian Doll, you gotta.
Oh man,
loved it.
Yeah. What's that guy's name? The male lead. I don't know his name.
I'm not sure. Let's
boy,
see.
Boy, is he good.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone was good, but yeah. What a show.
I will say the lady who hands her the joint,
yeah.
I don't know, she seems really funny.
She's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sweet
she has a couple
baby.
Of moments throughout that thing that just fucking floored me.
Yeah, yeah. That's
she's
Greta Lee.
Really good, yeah.
And Charlie Barnett is the,
he's terrific.
Yeah, great cast, yeah.
Great. My favorite thing I've seen in quite some time.
Totally. Wow. Yeah. Speaking of Netflix.
Yes.
I also watched a Netflix thing called Velvet Buzzsaw.
Oh, I watched 75% of that.
I watched 0% of that, but really wanted to see it.
It had a trailer that had me very interested.
Sure. Got
directed
Jake
by
Gyllenhaal and Rene Russo teaming up with the director of Nightcrawler again.
Dan Gilroy.
Was that a good movie.
His follow-up to Nightcrawler, Roman J. Israel Esquire, got kind of like not the best reviews, but not awful. It was very kind of down the middle.
I didn't know that was him.
Yes.
That Denzel Washington movie?
Sure is.
Hmm. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Apparently that was like, it's okay.
Right.
So I was pretty excited about this being a movie that he was directing and that it's kind of a horror adjacent movie. And the trailer looked like it had some promise. I like the idea of the movie. It's about like paintings that are potentially influencing people's deaths and has some real potential there in the way the art comes to life and such. And then I watched the movie and was like, well, this is not very good.
No, it's a huge problem. And it's such a shame because there's so much there. If this
there's
movie was
so
either
much potential here,
if this movie's like 25% sleazier or even crappier, or I don't know, or you have to heighten the world more.
So this movie was too good.
Yeah,
it was too down the middle.
Yeah, it didn't commit to anything. It didn't commit to being a horror movie. It didn't commit to being a comedy. No. It didn't fully commit to the satire that it's supposed to be about the arts community.
Doesn't have any point to it's literally just here's a world of art characters. They're quirky, and we can all recognize that these are heightened versions of the types of art people that are in the world, those very pretentious kind of high art people. But there's no end to the satire. There's no and then because of these heightened versions of these people, this is where it goes. It's just like, here they are. Maybe you'll chuckle at them. Also, there's a lukewarm horror movie going on.
Yeah, it sounds like what I was worried it was going to be, which is Neon Demon 2.
I wish it was Neon Demon. That was at least more interesting to parse through
I didn't finish it. I turned it off because I had to do something, and I was like,
"Let me tell you,
I didn't watch the last 20
minutes. Didn't get great
at
the end."
And I was like, I don't care. I'm not going to. Yeah. Gives a fuck.
It's so down the middle. It's like,
there's
too many characters.
No teeth, nothing.
John Malkovich's character is he's great, but then there's all these characters around the main characters that just are there for no real reason. Yeah. Like, they don't enrich the story. I almost wished that Jake Gyllenhaal was more of a side character and it was more about the woman who found the paintings, because I found her more interesting.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But it was almost like, but Jake Gyllenhaal's a big name, and he's doing it kooky and great.
It is frustrating to see yet another movie that is dead on arrival movie with Jake Gyllenhaal leaning in hard on a performance. Like, he was great. I thought he was great in this. I thought it was a great, fun character. I think he was very good in that really shitty boxing movie he was in. Like, there's been a string of movies that are not good where he's done very good work. It's a bummer.
Yeah, it was not good. Velvet Buzzsaw.
Holy shit, yeah. It needed to be fucking bonkers, and it isn't.
Like, lean into the art horror or something. Like the satire is we've seen so many movies about aren't these art people pretentious?
Yeah, get into it.
Fucking Art School Confidential at least is hilarious and has something to say, and it's like somebody took Art School Confidential and removed anything good about it and was just we also have jokes about I thought the pile of garbage was art. I walked into a room, I thought the garbage in the corner was art. I thought it was art, but it's actually a bag of garbage. Get it? That's the fucking same joke that I feel is in any movie about art. He thought this was art.
Anyway.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Bummer.
And I forgot all about it, and then now talking
Me
about
too.
It, I was like, oh, yeah, that
I
sucked.
Never
and it
would
was
have remembered.
Real disappointment.
Yeah. Stupid.
Speaking of things on Netflix I watched The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, that television show.
Yeah. It was the first episode is what I watched.
Yeah, I saw 8 or so minutes of that.
Yeah, what did you think of those 8 minutes?
I don't know. Not enough to think anything.
Not enough to think, yeah. Yeah, and maybe that's what the first episode is, but it's really got a lot going against it for me. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's got a guy in it that's like a drug addict guy who's real flamboyant and stuff like that. This show's real Canadian. Mm-hmm. It feels real Canadian.
It was made here.
Yes.
Yeah.
This show has a guy in it? Thought they were all canceled.
I hate that. it's got that kind of ooh, we've got this character who's a flouncy drug addict guy who says what everybody's thinking kind of thing. Mm. And he's just really trying as hard as he fucking possibly can to be this charming little imp. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
And then everyone else is just wooden and boring. Yeah. And it's like, oh, we have to all get together to find out who killed our dad and why. And I'm like, so far, I don't care. Mm-hmm. But again, it is one of those episodes where they just introduce everybody kind of thing, get the band back together. But it really feels like it's kind of like leaning on its Wes Anderson-y kind of feeling every once in a while. And I'm like, it feels like a real watery version of everything it's trying to be.
Yeah, I filled up my just sort of mindless superhero cart with Titans. I've been watching Titans.
okay, I need to hear about this.
Well, I don't know what to say about Titans. Like, it isn't good, but it ain't bad.
It looks fucking terrible.
It's not bad either, but it's not for everyone. Like, I don't think either of you would enjoy it.
The thing is, I love Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
Teen Titans Go, I've been
watching a lot of, too, so it's really weird to watch Teen Titans Go with my daughter and then watch Titans where they're like, fuck, all the time. Yeah.
Fuck, and pussy,
and they're
blood.
Like, they're banging each other and stuff and killing people. And anyway, yeah. It's like, it's interesting because I've read some old Teen Titan comics when I was young. I like the Dick Grayson character and his journey away from Batman and eventually becoming Nightwing is cool, and I don't know if they're going to do that, but I feel like they will, so that might be interesting to see, because the cast is, like, not terrible, not good either. But it's like this really easy thing for me to watch when I'm not watching something of importance with Athena, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just to put the thing on while I'm doing the dishes or whatever. And occasionally there's something really cool in it. There's a couple of really good, well choreographed fights and some interesting stuff I just never thought I'd see in a live action thing. Like, the Jason Todd shows up, which is, I was like, wow, that's, I'd never, I mean, Jason Todd's the second Robin. He was the one that they had the famous Death in the Family storyline where they had people phone in because he gets beaten severely by the Joker with a crowbar, and then a bomb goes off, and they made the readers phone in on a 1-800 number. Did Robin live or die?
Oh.
And people did not like Jason Todd, and they killed him.
Oh, I was going to say, is a phone in, does he live, die, or just get horribly beaten more?
Yeah, more beatings. This is an outstanding storyline because he does die. The art is great. Jim Aparo is the artist. It's wonderful. Anyway, so this is weird. They bring in the Jason Todd character, and it's cast very well. He's kind of annoying, like the character of the comics was, in a good way. So, I don't know. Do you want to see Robin say fuck and bang Starfire? Then, you know.
There's a TV show for
that. But only on Teen Titans Go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, like, it's so funny. I remember seeing, like, a trailer for Titans, and it really is just, like, everybody's saying fuck all the time, and like, it seems like the culmination of the trailer is Robin going, fuck Batman!
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh! Yeah. Like, this is exactly what they've hung their hat on.
Yes.
Is, man, this ain't your daddy's Batman!
Yeah, and they love saying fuck on this show. they will finish most scenes with fuck. That's great. I don't know. It's wonderful. Just check my brain at the door.
Yeah.
I like comic books and superheroes, so it works for me. But I wouldn't really recommend it to anyone. But if you do check it out, I will tell you, like, when you feel like it's slowing down because of the Hawk and Dove storyline, it's because that storyline sucks balls and it's dead weight on the show. I hate when it gets central down. There's two characters that aren't that interesting, and it is just, it slows the whole ship down. It's a bummer.
Oh. Titans,
I wasn't really planning to talk about Titans, but there you go.
I was so curious about it, but I was like, I'm like a hair's breadth away from actually watching
it. Well,
so
here's the thing. It looks pretty good, and there's some moments that are strong, and there's some great fucking fight scenes in it.
Yeah. There may be a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Beast Boy is horrible.
I cannot imagine him. I can't imagine them casting anyone good.
No. And I don't know what they've served up for him to do. It's not maybe not his fault. It's just like, all right.
Well, I mean, Beast Boy is a dumb character. Like,
absolutely.
Dumb. With some cool applications and stuff.
Yes.
Oh, he's a big green gorilla or whatever.
Yeah. But in the live action thing, here's another thing that's a problem, is he only turns into a tiger.
Really?
Yeah.
So
it looks not good.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
They only have budget for him to turn into a tiger.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this, though. So on the Teen Titans Go, Beast Boy is voiced by the same guy who does the voice of Michelangelo in the 2012 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series, which I've talked about before. And so, listen, I'm in the third season of that with Zoe now, and I legitimately watch that show. I like that show. And like, amazing. I urge her to watch it because I want to know what happens next. Because I got into this third season where they did this great thing and they got away from the city and away from all the Shredder stuff. All this fucked up shit happened. And they had to go like recoup in this cottage. And now it's been the horror movie season.
Oh, sweet.
It's been like that's the storylines are dark and all this fucked up stuff. In the second episode, some mutagen gets loose and it turns all this swamp gunk into a guy. And sweet. He's wandering around trying to kill them, and then he covers it because his face is all messed up. He covers it in a sack that has one little hole, and it's Friday the 13th Part Jason, 2, Jason with the sack on. Nice. But Casey Jones is there, and he beats up Casey Jones, whose mask falls off, and he takes the fucking mask. So he's got the fucking Jason mask, and he's just walking everywhere after them. It was awesome. They did a John Carpenter's The Thing thing. They did an Evil Dead thing. They did all kinds. Awesome. This show is fucking awesome. Straight up, check that like, shit out. Dynamite show.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I was not expecting to become a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan at this stage in my life.
At this late stage of your life. It really is literally.
But yeah, man, season 3 is, well, it's happening.
Cool. I got to check that shit out.
Nice. Not bad, man.
Try to get my kids into
it. Yeah. Season 1, good. Season 2, very good. Season 3 is insane.
Awesome. Yeah. Casey, anything else that you watched?
No? I don't think so.
Nice.
Jesus Christ. I've been insanely busy with other stuff. We started watching that Ted Bundy thing.
Yes. Oh, I watched that.
Yeah, we watched that.
And we kept getting interrupted. But
it's pretty good.
It is.
It's about I liked
crazy.
It, but
he's such a fascinating person. And you know, there was that whole thing where like everyone was like, oh my God, Ted Bundy's such a snack. but I'm just like, he's a horrible man. And I don't like hearing him, bit of an understatement maybe. I don't like hearing him talk like a person. I don't like, I'm very disturbed by hearing him explain himself and speak because I'm like, I read a bunch about Ted Bundy years ago, and he
read A Stranger Beside Me, right?
Which is again a lot about like the mask of a man that he was, and there's just something about it where I'm just like, this is just too unsettling for me.
Yeah, oh, it's fucked up, and the story is so insane. If it was just written into a movie, you would be like, this is too far.
Yeah.
This couldn't possibly happen. Like this, the two escapes from custody and one that leads to a fucking killing spree. Like it's so like, oh my God. I found it fascinating because I knew quite a lot about him. Athena read the same book and was like very interested in and I got the full lowdown, but I've never heard him speak so much. It was really it's alarming.
Yeah,
you know?
It really is.
Yeah. I liked it. I felt like what you guys are saying, like the tapes and them getting him to like describe it as if it was somebody else.
Yeah.
Like it, hearing that stuff is so disturbing.
Oh my God.
I felt like as a series, it just, I do feel a little bit of the like Netflix docuseries fatigue where I'm just like, it's about as good as all of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know if it
has that extra thing.
Better or worse art as a docuseries, but the subject matter and the story is fascinating and terrifying.
Totally.
And then there's this fucking movie coming out with Zac Efron playing him, which I was very curious about. Then I saw the trailer and it's like, hey, fun serial killer movie. I'm like, fucking fuck off.
Did not care for the tone of that at all. Yeah. Although I think Zac Efron...
Zac Efron?
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah.
I think he looks great.
He's a fine choice to play him.
Yeah.
And I heard that originally this script for this movie, it wasn't revealed that he was Ted Bundy or he had done these things until the last 10 minutes of the movie. So you watch The Mask for the whole movie.
Wow.
And then it goes, here is
what
you were missing.
That is really interesting.
I know, but that's not what happened.
It's really too bad that that's not like, what they did.
Fun time killer movie.
Yeah.
The weirdest, Bundy.
The weirdest part is like they have the shot of like him like pulling his shirt up and you see his abs. It's like we don't need that. Though, and also the double weirdest part is it's made by the same person who made the docuseries.
Yeah.
So it's like on the one hand you want to be like, okay, this person that made a very informed and researched and, you know, like documentary that goes into all these aspects of him has made this movie. But I it was another one of those things where the reviews came out of festivals and people were saying like, well, it's like a, it's pretty good, and it like is a really queasy tone in the sense of that it like goes for laughs sometimes, but it's also this fucked up thing. And it sounded like maybe it doesn't land that balance from what people were saying.
I don't think,
but
it's
sounds like it's
going to be
reverse jinx.
But yeah. I was almost like, well, maybe it was just a trailer thing, because if this person that made the documentary, who knows all about what happened, made it, surely he'll bring some kind of like
humanity, or
yeah, or be showing you it in a wacky way or like the trailer tone way in order to get to something like you were saying, like if there was some kind of a reveal, or I don't know, maybe it just became what it wasn't trying to be, but it does look regrettable.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a little bit more of a budget and an actual famous actor, and you know, like in place of one of those. Remember when there was a rash of serial killer movies?
Yeah,
and
the toolbox murders.
One of them was Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner played
Dahmer, right?
Dahmer. That's bananas.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did you guys?
That's what the movie was called. It was called "That's Bananas."
That's
the
bananas.
Jeffrey Dahmer story.
Did you guys watch "Abducted in Plain Sight" at all?
No,
on Netflix. No. It's a one shot. It's just like a 90-minute. You gotta watch it.
I can't do
it. If you think the Ted Bundy thing it has twists and turns, your jaw will be on the fucking floor.
Okay,
it's yeah. You guys should watch it for sure.
Okay,
it's unreal.
Mm.
What did I watch?
I
caught up with something that I had been meaning to see for a long time that we covered on the show.
Mm-hmm.
A little, small, tiny, independent film called Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom.
I've got that
just waiting, just taunting me.
Yeah.
Saying, watch me. And I keep saying no.
You know what? Not nearly as bad as I expected.
No.
I actually kind of enjoyed it. And I think my... like I can only sum it up by saying, like, well, first of all, waiting this long to get past like the reviews and stuff, and then just like watching it on a Sunday morning like a year and a half after it came out or whatever helps a lot. And then also just the fact that for me I thought it looked great, and I will most of the time take a really messy kind of like the plotting and the structure of this movie are very all over the place. It's like really like every act you're going to a new place and you never really get to settle. But I usually will take a movie that is like messy and rough around the edges, but like seems to be going for something over like a Jurassic World, which is like, hey, we heated up these leftovers for you.
Yeah.
We'll leave them in the fridge and like, greatest hits of last week's dinners. Like I felt like at least this movie was like trying something with the going to the mansion. And I thought there was some really good moments, like the when they're leaving the island and you see like the dinosaurs that are like getting engulfed in flames, and they kind of go for it as an emotional moment. Doesn't really work, but I thought they're going for it, and I liked that. It was like a 3-star. I was just like, you know what? Better than I expected.
That's good.
It was
fun. Because I did kind of want to see it.
Three-star.
It's not great, and it is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, let's not be...
Yeah.
But I had a good time watching it.
I will
it.
Say, if they go...
Where they're going
mm-hmm. at the end of this movie... Then, if this movie gets us there, then great.
Yeah. Please tell me you're talking about outer space.
Oh, man.
But they kind of set something up at the end where it's like, okay, if you do that, there's no turning back. Uh-huh. That's got to be the story of mayhem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Welcome to the story of mayhem.
Yeah. What else?
Oh.
Greg, you watch anything else?
Yeah. What, though?
That's really more of a you question. Yeah.
I know there's something that I had to choose what my winner's choice victory was, and I know what one of them was, and I can't remember what the other one was. Anyway, I did do a little, like, watch some 80s movies to feel comfortable and enjoy myself. I had a rewatch of Swing Shift, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Oh, nice. I've got that ready
Harris.
To go.
Yeah.
That's one that I've wanted to see for a long time. Never seen it.
It is
fine.
Okay.
Like, it's got spark. It's there. And Goldie Hawn just makes everything a little bit better.
Is that Jonathan Demme?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I lined up a bunch of his movies I hadn't seen when he passed, and that was one of them, but I haven't got to them yet.
It's worth a look.
Yeah.
It doesn't land where it should. Like, it just doesn't have enough. But you have these great performances. And Christine Lottie is in it. Remember when she was a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's great in it.
She became a director.
Really good. who doesn't like Kurt Russell?
Who doesn't love Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have all these like kind of like little like dumb roles, which if they were just with nobodies, they would be like whatever. But like, it's Fred Ward.
Nice.
So he's like comes in and kills these like quick little scenes he's in. He's probably got about 8 minutes of screen time in this fucking movie, but he's really memorable.
I love Fred Ward.
And Ed Harris is in it, and Ed Harris is Goldie's character's husband who goes off to war, and then she does her thing while he's away. And like, you feel like they're going to paint him to be like a dick so you can feel like really good about her having this affair with Kurt Russell, but he's not. And he comes back and he isn't a dick about it. Like, he's like I like that they made it complicated for you.
Yeah.
To go with what's happening in the movie. But it's like, it's a little light is the problem, and it could be a lot more. A movie that has a similar problem, but maybe in a different kind of way, I rewatched Teachers.
Oh, I watched that recently, last year.
Teachers, 1984, with Nick Nolte, Joe Beth Williams.
There's a
Judd
wick
Hirsch,
on this apple.
Morgan Freeman.
That apple
Ralph
about
Macchio,
to explode.
Crispin Glover.
It's got a cast,
It's
man.
Got a cast. It's crazy how many fucking people are in it. Laura Dern.
I've never seen that movie, and I don't know why I always thought this from the because I've only ever seen the box.
Sure, with the apple always, and the wick.
The apple with the wick, the explodey apple.
Yeah.
For some reason, I always thought it was kind of a sex comedy. and I don't know
certainly
why.
It isn't.
I thought it was about teachers fucking getting it out.
It's a little confused in what it's trying to be. It's like, is it a comedy? But these are really serious things. And like, it's like super 80s, and like way too much happens to be believable in a very short period of time.
I just looked up what I had logged it as, and I had mentioned that it was a shame they tried to make five movies instead of one good one.
Yeah,
it's
like
very like, this is happening and this is, and you're just like pick something.
Over the course of a couple of days, there's the school is being sued. A student attacks a teacher.
Yeah.
There's a teacher has a meltdown, like a mental breakdown. Another teacher dies. A student is shot.
Yeah.
In the span of a day?
In a couple of days. Like, all of this stuff is happening, and it's like, anyway.
I could see that happening in a week at my school.
Yeah. But the tone is pretty good, and, like, Nick Nolte is so great that when he has all this cheesy dialogue, it doesn't fall flat, where it's like, if it was just some, like, whatever 80s ding-dong actor.
Yeah.
Love
him.
McDingdom.
If it was like Steve Guttenberg or something, you like on the scenes where he's like, "Hey man, I think I could really reach this kid." You're like, but it's Nick Nolte. He's like, "I think I could really reach this kid."
By the way, both your Nolte and your Guttenberg, spot on.
Yeah,
and I'm not even kidding.
And like, everything is so stock, and she's like, the first shot of him is like pan across his messy apartment. There's beer cans.
Yeah.
You know, the alarm's going, the phone's ringing, his head's under the sheet. He's in there with a lady, and just like, that's your.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this an opening to a cop
so
movie?
Perfectly. Totally. Like, it could be anything.
That's the beginning to literally every 80s movie.
Yeah, and it's a mess. It ends in a freeze frame. It's totally all over the place, and I fucking loved it.
Yeah, it's watchable. It's very watchable.
So good.
It's got friggin' Richard Mulligan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his storyline is fucking bananas, too. They crammed that in there.
Oh, it's Arthur Hiller.
Yeah.
That's I kept thinking, like, there's somebody interesting involved in this.
Yeah, it's Teachers. It's watchable.
Yeah.
I was
happy watching it.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. Yeah. It's a good weekend movie.
Oh, yeah. It was so cozy.
Real quick, speaking of Fred Ward, reminded me that I watched for the first time Silkwood.
Oh.
Jeez. Which is so good.
Which is
Mike Nichols,
one of those light
yeah,
fare
yeah.
kind of.
Kurt Russell, Meryl Streep, Cher, Craig T. Nelson, and mm-hmm. yeah, Fred Ward's in there.
Yeah,
that's another movie where a lot of those side characters are very simple characters, yeah. and they pepper in some character work, character actors that just like make these roles really amazing. Yeah,
yeah, that's
and
a great movie.
That's such a good movie.
Kurt Russell was so a Golden Globe nominee.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, and the thing about those the main three actors are mm-hmm. just they're such big stars at the time, and then in this movie they really feel like the characters that they're playing. They really yeah. feel like they disappear into that house in that small town kind yeah. of like vibe. It's one of those movies that feels so lived in.
Yeah. Their workspace feels yeah. overpowering.
Totally.
You know?
That's an incredible movie. I loved
it. It's
I had
really
no idea
worthwhile.
It's co-written by Nora Ephron.
Yes. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Hmm. Yeah. I noted that when it was opening.
And co-written also by Zac Efron. That's insane. He was way too young.
Zac Efron?
Zac Efron?
Zac Efron.
Yeah, Silkwood's great.
Yeah, real good.
Really good.
Anything else?
Yes, but what is it?
While you think real quick,
tell me something.
I watched Patterson, which is the Jim Jarmusch film mm-hmm, starring mm-hmm. Adam Driver, among others. And I will say that is a phenomenal movie. If you've seen the trailers, you probably know it's just literally about Adam Driver. He drives a bus as a job. He's a poet. In a small town named Patterson, and it really is just about 2 hours of him driving around, writing poetry, living his life, and it's fucking great.
Yeah.
And I feel like with this and Only Lovers Left Alive, mm-hmm. He's really on a tear of these two movies back to back. So different, yeah. but there was a time when he was making stuff like Broken Flowers and there's one he did after that where when I saw those, I really was not into them.
There was, and I don't and know if I, it was the one, I really like Broken Flowers,
yeah,
but there was one after that.
I know that Limits of Control was pretty
Limits
not
of
well
Control,
received.
That's the one
yeah.
That I was kind of like,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a little too Jarmusch-y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was Coffee and Cigarettes.
Which
has moments, but as a movie I was never like, and I just feel like
it's a bumpy ride.
These two movies back to back, well not back to back, but like a couple years apart. Oh, so good. Yeah. It was everything that I probably wouldn't have liked if I saw his movies when I was young and like hated movies where nothing happened and mm-hmm. I was like, this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going on here. But now I watch this and I was like, I'll watch him write poetry and the poetry comes up on fucking camera in his handwriting and he's walking around and dealing with these characters in his life, just living his life. Fucking give it to me. It's wonderful. It's fucking beautiful. I loved it.
Mm. Oh, Dan, you're so much more whimsical these days.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah, it was really good.
Dan. Oh, Dan.
Yeah. Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
It's real
Get
good.
Get into it.
Real good.
Poetry, bus driving, Patterson.
Can you remember?
No.
No?
Was it an action film?
And there's some connective tissue to mine.
Was it A Night in the Life of Jimmy Reardon?
Well, I mean, I watch that every week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. There's something about it that connects to my other movie. There was a point I was going to make.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't know.
A movie you haven't talked about because it's
Yeah, because it's my winner's choice guy.
Well, then should we get to winner's choice and maybe
it'll
jog your memory?
We forgot to talk about in the trailers and stuff. We forgot to talk about the Child's Play teaser. But when a more full-length thing comes out, we'll talk about it.
Sure.
Because it didn't really give you that much.
Yeah.
No. Other than the fact that I was
not on board because of not having Mancini involved. And then I saw that teaser and am now a little bit more on board. I think it looks fun. Looks
and
interesting.
And the kid
so
in it.
Yeah, I don't know.
The kid in it, I'm excited because I was always very shocked by... There's this video by John Lajoie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The song that he wrote about the first time he saw Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I can't remember
it's like
which
part
one
four
it was.
Part or something, four. One of those sequels.
And the feelings that he felt as a young boy.
It's like one of those songs that's like... Very funny, but also like very emotional.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a very, very beautiful song. And the video, the kid who plays him in the video is fucking wonderful.
And that's the kid in Child's Play.
So I'm like, I'm not, you know, you're not usually like excited for a kid's performance, but I'm like, I feel like this kid's got something.
Yeah. The only thing I noted about the trailer was I am happy that even if it does kind of have that sort of slick sheen that like I feel like every movie you see now, like Velvet Buzzsaw, every movie that you stream just has that like boring look to it, and I felt like at least in the trailer for this they were doing some shadow work and they had some colors popping and I was like, okay, I think they're putting some effort into making this look like a movie.
Yeah.
So I'll watch it.
Gonna watch it.
Did you guys see the second Pet Sematary trailer? There was a new, one.
Yep, I'm interested.
I'm in.
It made me less interested.
Yeah, people are very upset about the change.
Yeah,
that they changed, and I'm kind of like, sure, it's a big change, but at the same time, go for it.
I love that book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real quick, I don't need to get into it, but I've seen Incredibles 2 about 7 or 8 times now.
Oh, we watched that a third time as well.
Yeah, we really liked it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. It's not as good as Incredibles, but it's a lot of fun.
No, but it's very watchable, and the action sequences are very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot I liked about it.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I also watched a Unabomber reenactment thing. Not reenactment, but
the hell is that?
A fucking show about the Unabomber with a...
Oh,
I hope nobody did a
reenactment. What's the Avatar fella?
M.
Night Shyamalan?
Avatar. Worthington.
Oh, that boring guy.
Right. So, and I saw the Taylor Kitsch played David Koresh, and I'm like, hey, that guy can actually act when he's in something of substance. Sam Worthington, much like Taylor Kitsch or Colin Farrell, when he's not trying to be a stoic, handsome action man, he can actually act.
Wow.
He's quite good in it.
Nice.
Yeah, is this the one that had Mark Duplass in it as well?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw a bunch of this.
It's really interesting. It ends up being a little weirdly sympathetic towards the Unabomber, I felt, at the end.
Fun.
I was like, that's a little odd. There's something in the tone.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because Paul Bettany is quite good as engaging.
He's a confounding actor.
Yeah.
I really hate him.
It's really hard to do that. Like, we want to show you what was happening to this person that ended up pushing them in the direction that they headed in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to get that balance, but then also where you're like, oh, yeah, like some serious fucked up things happened to this person who already was very fucked up, and it was this like cocktail of like perfect storm where now he's a murderer. It can be so hard to do that and then have some people watch and be like, oh, what do you want me to care for him? You know what I mean? It can be very hard balance.
Yeah. But it's a cool watch, and Worthington's really good at it. It's called Manhunt.
Yeah.
Unabomber. It's very interesting.
I think I saw some of that. I think Emma watched all of it, and I think I fell off it because we were watching it around the same time as Mindhunter on Netflix. And it was just like, that was just so good that I couldn't like watch some other crime show about a true thing that I was like, I can't, like, it's not this other show I'm obsessed with right now. So I should step back to it now that I'm away from the other one. Yeah.
Cool.
Sweet.
Nice.
Yeah. Any other things before Film Roulette?
No.
No.
Right. Then let's do it. Film Roulette. Yeah. It's our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and two high rollers get to see a movie they want to see or something we've picked, and the low roller has to see something we've picked as a punishment. This week it was winner's choice for the winners, and for the loser, John Travolta. We'll find out which one soon.
But, I got you a good idea.
Yeah,
but we got to talk about it, guys.
The low roller has to listen to an album.
We got to talk.
We got to talk about it
for the rest of the week.
Travolta.
Well, the low roller gets to give us an album for the rest of the week. We'll talk about that in a bit. You'll get it.
Blah, blah.
Go on with it.
Blah, blah, blah. Nobody's listening to this thing at this point.
How do you want to go because you were trying to jog your memory, or do you want me to dive in? Do you think maybe we watch the same thing?
I don't fucking know.
Okay.
Ooh, you want to do a 3-2-1?
3-2-1? I'll do a
3-2-1.
What
are you, Goodwill Hunting over there? I don't fucking know.
What was I doing?
All right, let's move on.
My pick was definitely a like pretty high profile movie that had not been mentioned yet on the show.
Oh shit!
Mentioned or
viewed as far as I know.
I did the same thing.
Okay. Oh, let's do a 3-2-1.
3-2-1.
Yeah.
Okay. 3-2-1. Widows.
Roma.
What did you say?
Widows.
Oh. Yeah. Widows and Roma.
Let's do Roma. Because we talked about a lot of Netflix stuff.
Right.
Roma.
Yes.
Roma.
I saw it.
Does it have an exclamation point at
no,
the end of it?
No, yeah. It doesn't.
Roma mother.
yeah. Roma, up for best picture, best director.
Alfonso Cuarón.
Yes. Best supporting actress. I'm not sure what else it's up for.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's semi biographical story of Cuarón growing up and the maid
that
was involved with his family in Mexico City. It's in the end of the 60s, early 70s, middle class family.
Yeah.
Just like, and I mean,
shot in black and white.
Yeah.
And it was a big thing that when it came out, it hit Netflix like around the same time as they were doing limited release, and there was a lot of stuff on the internet like, get into theaters to see this, it's gorgeous, and all that.
Yeah.
And all that.
It's a very still and quiet movie as we're just basically observing a family for like quite a while, and honestly, while I was watching it, I was a little like, okay, I mean, this looks beautiful and these performances are extremely natural, but like, I don't know what is. I was a little bored.
Yeah,
and then everything happens, and there.
Then the aliens.
Yeah. It's like Tremors.
It turned out to be a Tremors remake.
Yeah.
They're under the ground.
Yeah,
and then.
Fuck you!
Roma!
But it's funny because then in the second half, the Screamers show up and fight the Tremors.
Peter Weller's there.
These are our underground.
Very confusing.
Not allowed to be here.
The drama of mayhem and chaos.
Yeah,
it happens.
I'm listening
so seamlessly and just naturally how things fall apart in life, and it's devastating. There's a scene that's cripplingly emotional.
No, I can't handle that these days.
Yeah, it's really rough, and amazingly well done and well handled. And I loved this movie.
Nice.
You know, the journey you go on at the end, it's very rewarding. And it's beautifully, it's a masterclass of filmmaking. It's quite a story, and it really illustrates. I don't know if this is the intention of the movie, but when I kind of was watching it and feeling at the end was it just really illustrates this the whirlwind of chaos that can come in the wake of selfish men who have no idea that they're even creating it. And it's interesting to see filmmakers making these kind of movies and telling these stories more and more. It's like the generation, the product of the generations of divorce are now, you know, fully formed adults and are probably, you know, well into their careers or whatever they're doing. So these, we're seeing these stories more of like how fucking destructive a crumbling marriage can be, where it was like an interesting drop back for a lot of stuff in the 80s. Like E.T. is a great divorce movie, but you don't really, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
The implications of divorce.
Like, and just how far It's, and you know, it's it, this movie isn't about that, but that, I mean, that's just something I saw in it that was very, really, I mean, it is about that, because there's two very selfish people in this in this motion picture, and the lead actress, I don't have anything in front of me, who plays the maid, it's her first film ever, and she's remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a weight thrown on her to carry this whole thing, and she does it.
Is it the character Cleo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Effortlessly.
Yalitza Aparicio.
Yeah, she is remarkable. It's a stunning, stunning film. And the lady who's nominated for supporting actress.
That's her.
Marina D'Attivier.
Yeah, yes. She is very good. Yeah, watch this beautiful, beautiful movie. Yeah. This is great. I think that maybe this was as good as it is because if Netflix got this guy to make this movie for them, I imagine they got out of the way. You know?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
this was about as pure a filmmaking experience for a creative person like Cuarón as he could possibly ask for. So maybe this is the benefit of where now we're seeing a Netflix film nominated for Best Picture, because it was, I think, is, I don't know, I can't imagine them interfering with him. He wouldn't have brought it there.
Yeah.
Because it's a risk to make something this cinematic, this artsy, and just have it for Netflix on the small screen, too. It's a huge gamble. So it must have been at the, I can only imagine they stayed the fuck out of his way. And it feels that way because this is not a standard Oscar bait film.
You know? Of everything nominated this year that I haven't seen, this is the one that I feel like I need to get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should.
Yeah. Of all the things that are Oscar nominated, I haven't seen 98% of them.
Now's the nominated.
Is there some Hennigans in here? What's going on?
Guys, I've been drinking all day at work.
No smell, no tell.
Hey, G. Dublin. Anyway, this is awesome.
Yeah, I really want to see it.
Zunominate.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Nominated. Yeah. I want to see it. I feel like the nominations this year, there's a lot of just like, I assumed that would get nominated.
Yeah.
Like Green Book and stuff like
Which I didn't realize there were all these horrible things going on.
Yeah.
A lot of problematic stuff with Green Book.
Yeah.
Well,
I ended up seeing it and it's fine. It's the exact kind of movie that like comes around every year and it's well acted and they're really great together, but it's like just well made enough that it's a real good safe bet to put in that category, and then it'll sweep some right.
Someone was telling me, I don't know how this quote exactly came about, but with Spike Lee being up for Best Director and having Best Picture for Black Klansman in there, Do the Right Thing, he was up for Best Picture and Director and lost to Driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah.
Apparently he was like, I better not fucking lose a Driving Miss Daisy too.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, Black Klansman is an infinitely better film.
Yeah, definitely.
Apparently the family of Doc
not happy.
Yeah, didn't want this film made ever. They've been trying to make it for ages, and the family's of Mahershala Ali's character.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
it's definitely a movie that doesn't buck that like magical Negro trend where he's around and they teach each other things in the movie, but it's like he's in the movie and is definitely like the second lead, but like the movie is not necessarily 100% centered around him. It's definitely more from the other guy's perspective.
Well, it certainly doesn't seem like a movie that would benefit from being told by a white guy.
Yeah,
as it is.
Yeah, it's but whatever. Like, it's fine.
It's fine. Road movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's some funny scenes.
Yeah. I watched Widows.
Yeah,
Greg, you watched Roma, and I watched Steve McQueen's Widows from 2018.
Yeah,
starring Viola Davis, Michelle Rodriguez, Colin Farrell. Daniel Kaluuya is in this. So fucking good. I really liked Widows quite a bit. And it feels like the kind of movie that I really liked on first watch and had a bit of a reservation on kind of it pushing it over the top into something that I fully loved. but it feels like the kind of movie that if I revisit it, I'm going to like it more and more. It's right. So well cast, really well directed. It is maybe a little too long and it's a little kind of uneven from the pacing perspective. But once the movie gets going and once it becomes like we need to pull off this heist and once it gets to where it's going, it's so good at what it does. And I am actually really surprised that we're not seeing anything for it at the Oscars, like performances or direct. Yeah, like it's a really good movie.
Weird.
And the performances in it are terrific. Yeah. And so it's just so weird that like nobody is up. Like Daniel Kaluuya is so fucking good in this movie. Mm, he is so scary and like so good at being that like personable scary guy where right. like he's coming up to you and like intimidating you but also kind of approaching you in like kind of a casual way, and then oh, all of a sudden somebody in the room is dead because he's fucking snapped and now he's back to what he was before, and it's just in an instant and it's there and it's gone, and now that it's there you are waiting for it the whole movie. It's really, really a great performance, and I'm so surprised that nobody's nominated for this. Yeah, it's I think maybe because it's like just a really good, really great movie. It's not like masterpiece,
right?
But I kind of think like if I watch this another time, I'm going to start to get comfortable with the world and the characters, and it'll kind of like bloom and I'll like it more and more and more.
Right, right.
Because there is a lot of people in the movie. It's a little
really
dense, but it's really good. It's so worth a watch. I really liked it. Yeah, I'm surprised there's no talk about it at the end of the year. I think it might just be one of those movies. I can't remember when it came out, but it might just have been
one of those like
earlier in the year and then
through the cracks,
yeah,
kind of things.
Totally. But it's great. Yeah, I really liked it. It's definitely worth a watch. Yeah, really well directed. There's a scene where they are in a car and Colin Farrell and his assistant, Colin Farrell's kind of the bad guy of the film. They're like driving from one location to another, and instead of seeing anything that they're talking about inside, and they just shoot the whole thing on the outside of the car. And it for a second, you're like, why aren't they showing me this discussion? But the way that like the discussion unfolds and all you can do is just listen to the discussion, it's like, and like the wall that his character is putting up between him and the world he's driving through, like really makes sense and is like really a great little smart choice of the way to direct that scene. And there's a lot of that in this movie, like where just the decision of how to like block a scene or present a scene really like bakes in what the movie is trying to say, mm-hmm. in a way that's just like really natural and really works and is effective. Yeah, it's really good.
Hmm.
Yeah,
nice. Great.
So check Widows out.
I fucking will, man.
Very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Very
that's,
good.
That's been high on my list.
Yeah. Yeah. Casey.
Yeah.
You gotta tell me.
You well, got it.
You got it.
Carrying on the tradition, movies that were snubbed by the Oscars.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Here comes Gotti.
Yeah.
This movie has been widely regarded as one of the worst movies of last year.
Yeah.
And what I got to tell you about this movie.
Mm. Kevin Connolly directed it.
Mm. Yes, it yes. was directed by Entourage.
Uh-huh.
I really like this movie.
I watched this movie too.
Oh, I should have.
Yay!
And I was like, I'm going to watch both yeah. with you. And then I went to watch Gotti and I was like, oh, well, I'll watch another
watched,
night. And then he just didn't.
I watched Gotti. I wasn't sure.
Damn, I should have watched
if it. I was going to watch Gotti. But as soon as he turned to the camera and he was like, New York fucking city. I'm like,
hey. New York City. It's the best city in the world. Hey.
Oh, man.
This movie.
I already want to watch it.
Oh, my God.
To the camera. First
immediately.
Thing.
Immediately he turns to the camera and goes, hey, this movie's going to be a fucking idiot. Yeah.
I mean, I was disappointed that it doesn't keep up. I thought he yeah. was going to Ferris Bueller this thing.
Oh, that would have been so
oh,
wonderful.
Would have been the best movie ever made.
But all of that said, this movie is fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that makes it the most, because Travolta's like, pretty hammy in it, but I've seen him be way worse.
I thought his performance was great.
Pretty good. It was fine. But the big problem is fucking Ding Dong from Entourage does not know how to direct a movie. I didn't know what fucking year it was anytime. They didn't make any sense for timelines.
And it just jumps here and there and to and fro.
And it's really confusing.
And it does not give a fuck if you care. It literally is just a collection of scenes of people saying Italian names.
Yeah.
Hey, what about Frankie? Frankie's over there with Johnny. Johnny said, oh, hello Five over stars. There to Joey.
Yeah, I watched a 2-hour fucking Gotti movie, and you know what I know about Gotti? Not a Gotti damn thing. Nothing. I didn't learn anything that I didn't already know.
Amazing.
No. I didn't know that much about Gotti, and I still don't know anything about
nothing
him.
Nothing at all. I could not keep it straight. Because there's too many. When they jump from, like, big timelines, too, they don't update how people look. Like, the fucking son, who's a big. That guy looks like 1992 for the whole movie.
I thought when he's supposed to be.
He's got the shaved sides fucking thing that no one had except for those, like, 4 years at the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s. He looks like that for the whole movie.
And I love when he's supposed to be, like, at the end of high school, he looks like a 24-year-old. Yeah. When he's supposed to be 24, he looks like an 8-year-old. I don't know what's going on with that guy. But I gotta say, his performance was not terrible.
No. It's, again, not his fault. The direction is fucking terrible. It's idiotic.
There is there's a fucking moment that made me just like, okay, no, this isn't John Travolta as Gotti. This is Danny Zuko as John Gotti. And it's horrifying. Like, even in a fucking ham-fisted movie like this, the scene where, and everybody, you know, knows historically, John Gotti's child is killed, hit by a car. And he finds out that his son goes to the hospital, and he finds out that his son didn't make it. And he's walking down this corridor.
Mm.
And he bites his knuckles. Yeah. He does like the hard, and he bites his like the most fucking hammy fucking thing that you can do.
Amazing.
To show emotion. Man, what a fucking dumb piece of shit movie this is. But it's, and it's not like, it's not fun necessarily. I just had so much fun with how bad this movie is and how inept this movie is, because it's almost like the movie saw Goodfellas. Oh, and by the way, at one point, he says, like, there's narration every once in a while. He says, they're talking about being in some bar or something like that, and he says, everyone was there. In the corner over here, you got some Goodfellas and this over there. That's a made-up term from the movie Goodfellas. This movie has no idea. This movie did not. Did not even bother to fucking research itself.
Yeah. Or did it bother to realize that John Gotti is a murdering villain?
Yeah.
Not American hero.
Not.
Oh my god.
He's a paisano.
Yeah. You'll never see nobody like me again. 5,000 years. See you later. Thanks for coming to the movie.
And he really is. And by the end, it's like, hey, come on. He was just a good time guy. Maybe a couple people got whacked. This movie, it's like it's walking along, like going like, Goodfellas.
This is just making me want to see it.
It's so dumb.
It's right there waiting for
you
to see
it. I know.
It. Yeah.
One thing I will give Travolta credit for is when he's older Gotti and...
Cancer Gotti?
Cancer Gotti, and God forbid...
Cancer?
Yeah.
Gotti forbid.
Or as I call him in his makeup, Thanos Gotti. He went no wig, like he's just full on like balding Travolta, and it's like, oh, you finally did it. Good for you.
He did it in that
movie
Subway the movie.
No, is it that? Wait, no, not was it in the fucking remake of Pelham
1-2-3? It might have been.
And if you want a duty rhyme, then come see me.
He in some other movie, he let it go. And I was like, there you go, buddy. Be a guy.
Just be
a person. Stop with the thing.
Guy with
a,
yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And
he's still with the carpets.
But oh, man, what a dumb fucking movie.
Oh, was it?
I had so much fun with it, though.
He was balding from Paris to Love with Love.
No, not full. Not like
that was full
like,
bald. Though.
Yeah, that was like
no,
shaved.
Like, showed the old receding little, line.
Yeah.
I think it was the Taking a Pelham 1-2-3 remake, which is.
I think it was
horrible.
Look Who's Talking Now.
That's probably what it is. That's
probably it.
A remake a perfect movie. Fucking ding dang.
Where his hairline had a voiceover?
Yeah.
It is Pelham, yeah. Pelham's
hey,
right.
I'm trying to cover the head up here.
Hey, I'm going back here over here. Oh, my God. I fucking love this movie. It's great.
Oh, man. I got to see it.
You got it.
You got it.
Oh, well, you guys had to listen to an album that I gave you because you got it.
Yep.
And I gave you guys the brand new 2018 or 19, I'm not 100% sure, I think it's 2018, album by Real Big Fish.
Yeah.
And
a,
they
a
are
really
still...
Good name for a band.
Scawing it up.
Well, what you want in a band name is like a dumb
it.
Sentence... That also has a pun?
Yeah.
If you got a dumb sentence that has a pun,
yeah.
You could pretty much be a ska band forever. You could pretty much be the exact same ska band forever.
Yeah, forever. Life Sucks, Let's Dance from 2018, end of the year, December 2018. They're still doing it.
Yep.
And I told you guys I was going to listen to this. I was going to give it a real college try, and I made it a couple tracks, and then was like, I don't have to be doing this. Why am I doing this?
Yeah. And I was like sad every time I looked at it in my phone, like, oh God,
why is this in my phone?
I have to put this on. Oh, I can delete it now. I'm gonna do that right now. Spoilers, I hated this. Yeah, this is a terrible band making shit fucking songs. Yeah, I was amazed at how much the production sounds exactly like when this ska thing was happening.
Yeah.
That have we learned nothing about the snare drum?
let me. Is it have to be like really tight and really? Yeah.
Like it's like it's if the snare drum had a mouth full of sand.
Yeah,
and also was recorded in its own room.
Yeah, and it sounds nothing like a snare drum.
Yeah. It just brought me down this memory lane because I have a long, difficult history with ska because I was such a big ska listener.
Trying to get into that
revival
wave.
Period ska because you go back in the real beginning, the Desmond Dekker and Toots and the Maytals. That stuff is
God, I love Desmond
so
Dekker.
Perfect, and then you get the revival ska that's Specials, Speed, Madness, Selector.
So good.
Like, and I was
which was
kind of
even cool
really
on its own
stuff.
Like it had its own kind of cool
it had its own thing yeah
cool progression
and
of
I
ska.
Was deep into that shit good
I hated
Lord.
Ska before I met you actually and you got me into good ska
because that stuff was so awesome and I thirsted for it desperately wanted more and there was Fishbone and they did their own variation and with some ska stuff and unfortunately that's what leads to then the third wave
of
ska and
punk bands were like, well, maybe we could go from a verse of a couple punk chords to like a, another verse, but it's a ska verse or a ska chorus,
right.
And then we'll go back to being a crappy punk band.
Yeah. And I tried. It sounds sort of like what ska's supposed to sound like. And you just keep trying, and then all of it's bad, and everyone sounds exactly the same. Except for the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, the most unique of them all.
Yeah. Well, they had a guy who danced. You can really hear the dancing.
The thing about the Boss Tones was they are a fairly okay ska band, but they are also the world's worst rock and roll band.
Yeah.
And they do both things in both songs all the time.
Yeah.
It's always there.
What? And also, what is the lyrics of that song? Have you ever had to knock on wood? Because I'm sure it isn't good. And I know I haven't yet.
I know someone who did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know someone who had to knock on wood once. Hurt his knuckles real bad. Never quite recovered. This is a warning. Weird fucking
anyway, thing. It's like, and these guys aren't even fit to, do laundry for the Boss Tones, Real Big Fish. This is some fucking garbage.
Yeah.
Every song is the fucking same thing.
I don't even know what to say.
This is just music that exists underneath me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's down there somewhere. And not that I'm, well, I am quite better than this, but yeah. That's not what I mean. I mean, it's music that is so far down somewhere else that I can't see it and it doesn't affect my life in any way. You know, it's too bad Sublime had some really great elements because they made a lot of people think a lot of things about music that maybe they shouldn't have.
But
there's all these little
real big fish.
I was a little into some of their stuff back when they came out, and trying to listen to this was just like, well, just not good still. The thing I don't like about them is the trying to be funny. Just trying to like
all of them. It has to be kind of wacky, right? That's kind of like
they really have a musician sense of humor.
Yeah, like they
which is to say not a sense of humor.
Like even on the stuff that I would say like, oh, I could listen to that and be like, oh yeah, I remember listening to this and like go on a nostalgia trip. I can't be like they never. It was either just like, we have a dumb song about beer, or like we have a song about I don't like the radio. It's just like, you don't have much here, like lyrically or whatever. Like I can put one or two songs on and be like, oh yeah, I was a dumb kid. But like I just don't find it. Yeah.
Yep. Fuck that shit, man.
Yeah.
There you go. So Casey.
Yeah.
You get to give us an album.
Well, guys.
Yep.
I'm having a big problem.
Okay. Uh-huh. Fiber.
Do you think so?
Because
it is a poop problem. There's a couple albums out right now that I'd really like to give you.
Okay.
One that's like, oh, you're still trying? And then another that's like, why are you still trying?
Yeah.
And one of them thematically, or one of them we've gone into it in depth.
Okay.
Here on the show, and then the other one I don't think we've ever touched on, but I'm sure it's going to be
the one we haven't touched on. Oh, you're still trying, or the you again?
It's the oh, you're still trying.
Okay.
Well, I guess I'm.
I feel like I'm leaning into that then.
Well, that one is kind of a under the heading of you trying to write songs for my mom now.
Oh.
And that's by a little lady I like to call Avril Lavigne.
Oh no.
She's got a new album coming out. The cover of which she's nude, but except wearing a guitar, and she really looks
like she's
a
rocker.
Yeah, I don't know. I really think she's trying to make Sarah McLachlan songs for my mom.
Yeah,
but then the other one, and this is the one I think I'm going to go with, is the new Insane Clown Posse.
Oh,
oh fuck!
I'll listen to a new Insane Clown Posse.
Oh,
and guys, believe me when I tell you, it's 17 songs.
Oh, wonderful! How Here's many skits? Skits? Yeah.
Well, there's an intro. Yeah. So let's go ahead and listen to Insane Clown Posse's new album, Fearless Fred Fury.
Oh,
was it a concept album?
I hope so. But, so that's going to suck in all the right ways.
Fucking hell.
Interesting.
Can you believe that every single song has an explicit warning on it?
Wow. This is their 15th studio album. Hey, it's got the same little kind of cover. Do they all have that? Or
what?
They had those early albums where they had like the different clown faces on the cover. I feel like they got away from that, though.
Well, they're back, baby. I really hope this song
have clown faces on the. What are we talking about here?
I thought maybe they had some albums where they were a little bit more like this album cover, where it's not just like a black cover. Like they had some designed covers, but it does seem like most of their albums just have a face on them.
They have a lot of albums.
Yeah,
holy shit,
frightening amount.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I think which one did we talk about? We talked about two.
Yeah, we did. Where is it?
I think we did the Mighty Death Pop one in 2012.
The Great Malenko.
Yes, we did. And then whichever one was either before or after that.
I think we skipped ahead.
Oh, maybe.
I feel like we did Mighty Death Pop in 2012. We were like, now they've got a new one.
Yes,
or like last year they put one out.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, enjoy this. I really hope this album has a song on it where they finally figure out magnets.
Oh.
I think that would be really great. Hey, guys, we figured out science.
I already really love the Wikipedia because it's like originally planned for release simultaneously with their upcoming 12-track EP.
What is a 12-track EP?
Our 12-track EP wasn't ready, so we'll just put the full length out
so
on
we'll
its own.
So we'll go ahead and put out 17. All right.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Oh, man.
I love it.
We got to roll it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
By which I mean a blunt, you guys.
Oh. That's insane.
Give me that magnet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I got to die here.
Yep.
We are rolling for... Was it winner's choice? But we should probably see the new Madea movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's so. That's winner,
and
loser.
Now, we thought maybe Gaudi was the worst reviewed film of 2018,
yeah.
But
maybe wrong.
Late contender that's got our attention is this made in Toronto? Yeah, it was.
I believe it was.
Yeah. Shot in Toronto.
Yeah. Little Italy.
2018.
Starring Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. Emma Roberts.
And, yeah, right.
Canada's son.
Apparently pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Very awkward.
Yeah.
Anyway.
From the director of Mystic Pizza and Opportunity Knocks and Grumpy Old Men.
Which is fucking crazy. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen Opportunity Knocks.
Did it ever knock?
Once.
Is that
it
a movie I should
wood.
See?
And I'm sure it wasn't good.
Should I watch Opportunity Knocks?
No, it's fucking terrible.
Okay.
And probably really problematic by now. But, you know, I was a huge Dana Carvey fan.
Yeah.
Yep. That's out in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got a
little
28 on
Italy.
Metascore. Pretty good.
It's about Little Italy here in Toronto.
What?
Yeah. It's about College Street.
We got one of those?
I used to live there. Yeah, you too.
Oh, yeah, for a time.
Yeah.
Wonderful. It's a romantic comedy, I believe, and looks terrible.
A young couple must navigate a blossoming romance amidst a war between their families' competing pizza restaurants.
Oh. That's not going to be stereotyping at all.
Oh, no.
You got to see it.
Which guy from Entourage directed this one? This was directed by Turtle.
Yeah.
Alyssa Milano is in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Andrea Martin, so there's at least something.
I think they were going, they were trying to go for a big movie with this, but...
Well, I think they were trying to go with a big Fat Greek Wedding with this.
Yeah. All right, let's roll Little Italy versus whatever you want to see, but there's a Madea movie out there, and we should probably try and talk about that. That is a 2.
Ooh, that's a big
Who's
number
next?
Two.
Oh,
my God.
Where it lays...
So 5.
Fair enough.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, do-over. That's an 8.
Yep.
Big time.
Down to College Street for Dan.
Down I go.
Into the pizza war.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll try and see Madea, too.
Yep.
Because I got it.
You got it.
Yep.
It is. Is that the Philadelphia cream cheese lady?
What?
She the Philadelphia cream cheese lady?
Who?
No, she just looks like a regular lady.
Remember the sitting on the clouds?
Oh, yeah.
Is this, what is this a picture? Oh, in Little Italy.
Oh, remember her?
Yeah, that's the cream cheese lady, right?
I think that's Ms. Cream
Cheese. I remember those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's her.
Nice. Well.
So, you know.
You got that going for you.
Who doesn't like cream cheese?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So next week, Little Italy, winner's choice, potentially Madea.
Give it up.
We'll listen to the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
And next episode. Yeah. Other than that, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, SYNWPC.
Mm-hmm.
Rate and review us on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And please, we will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet. There is a... dead person eating cream cheese at the end of Little Italy. She was dead, right? Or she was an angel.
I think
you have to die to be an angel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She ate some bad cream cheese, and then she died.
And now
she's selling it
in
to you.
Hayden Christensen movie.
Yeah.
Now she has a scheme where she's going to kill as many people as she can through Philadelphia cream cheese to get more people.
To get more friends.
Yeah.
man.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.